From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting, speaking about the ongoing military bombardment of Ghouta. The regional director of the International Red Committee of the Red Cross in the Middle East now says aid workers should not have to risk their lives to deliver assistance after having fighting impeded efforts to get aid to people trapped there. Robert Mardini said his group was taken aback by the fighting that broke out, despite guarantees from the parties involved in this conflict that humanitarian aid could enter towns of Douma and Eastern Ghouta.
Eastern Ghouta has been besieged since 2013, but a relentless assault over the past 3 weeks has seen the Syrian army capture half of the territory, and it's estimated to have killed nearly 1,000 people. The intensity of the assault has drawn international condemnation and demands by UN agencies for a humanitarian halt in the fighting. They've only been able to get a fraction of much-needed food and medical supplies into the area, where an estimated 400,000 people are trapped. Syrian President Bashar al-Assad and his main ally Russia say the campaign in Eastern Ghouta is needed to end rebel shelling of Damascus and the rule of Islamist insurgents over the area's civilians. Capturing the enclave would be the latest in a string of victories for the Syrian regime since Russian jets entered the fray 3 years ago. And it would be the biggest blow against rebels since they were driven from Aleppo in December 2016.
That's Reuters' David Doyle reporting. Britain was expected to hold a second meeting of its National Emergencies Committee Saturday in response to a nerve-agent attack on a Russian former spy. The March 4th attack on Russian double agent Sergei Skripal and his daughter Yulia in Salisbury, southwest England, is being treated as attempted murder. Both are said to be in critical condition. This is VOA News. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson canceled his Saturday events in Kenya to recover from an extraordinarily busy schedule. He was said to have not been feeling well. He's expected to resume events Sunday. On Friday, he said the political reconciliation between Kenya President Uhuru Kenyatta and opposition leader Raila Odinga is a very positive step. He said that Kenya's leadership has its responsibilities to its people, which have been neglected in recent months.
We believe that there are actions that need to be taken in Kenya and that they need to correct certain actions like shutting down TV stations and threatening the independence of the courts.
Other topics of discussion during Tillerson's meeting with Kenyatta were defeating terrorism in neighboring Somalia, political unrest in South Sudan, and strengthening U.S.-Kenya business relations. The White House says that the United States has made zero concessions in agreeing to face-to-face talks between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The White House is insisting that Mr. Trump's surprise acceptance of a Kim invitation to meet resulted from months of preparation that involved relevant U.S. government agencies. U.S. Naval War College national security scholar Tom Nichols on whether the Trump administration is actually prepared for those talks.
Talking is always better than fighting, but talking requires a lot of preparation. And there's no evidence, first of all, that there was preparation here. And second, there's nothing that the North Koreans have done to merit this except to be the rogue nation they are. Usually summits with the President of the United States are a sign of great seriousness and stature and a reward often for having good relations with the United States.
France and India have signed agreements intended to boost cooperation in the nuclear energy, space, trade, and defense sectors. The French President Emmanuel Macron, his office, has said that the contacts are worth about $16 billion. Partial results released Saturday in the race for Sierra Leone's new president show no one has a strong enough majority so far to win Wednesday's polls, as election observers criticized the country's police for intimidating opposition members before and after the vote. The presidential candidate needs more than 55% of the vote to win in the first round, or else there will be a runoff between the top two candidates. California officials have released the identities of the gunman and the three hostages he killed Friday at a veterans facility in Northern California. The suspect has been identified as 36-year-old Albert Wong, and the people killed were 48-year-old Christine Lubber, 42-year-old Jen Golick, and 29-year-old Jennifer Gonzalez.
That's the latest world news from VOA.